We start with a nice word on about Rosh Hashanah. In the Nimrei Pinchas, he says Rosh Hashanah is the blueprint of the whole year. The way a person behaves, Rosh Hashanah, that's how they're going to behave toward him the entire year. And that's why we're so careful with all the things that we do or don't do, or eat or don't eat, and all the different simonim, because this is how the year is going to look. He says, Rosh Pinchas Lakaritza used to not say any miser before Tkiyah Shofar, like other tzaddikim did, because he was afraid that talking about something undesirable, talking about the Avairus of Yidden, will leave an impression on the entire year. That's how careful he was. That's why I should make sure, he says, to use the day properly, because it's the outline and the blueprint of the year. He said, just like when a person builds a house, you first make an outline, you make a picture of what it's going to look like, and only then you can build it. That's what happens. Rosh Hashanah. And they bring a story there in the Nimrei Pinchas that once he came to Beis Medrash, the Pinchas Lakaritz, and he pointed to a shtender that was in the Beis Medrash. He said, even this Beis Medrash, even the shtender, is going through a Yom Adin. If it should last till next year, it's going to get broken in the middle of the year. That's what he said. You know, so we're heading toward the very important days. And Metz Shem, it should be good for all of us. And we should use it properly. There are different struggles that people experience during the year, that if only we would take this more seriously, maybe things would be better. I heard a story from Rabbi Nachum Mandel. He once said a story about the Pnei Menachem, the Gerer Rebbe. He once went into the Beis Medrash Shemesh Tzedukah. It's a Sfadish Shul on Rechov Chagi. Nachum Mandel lived on Rechov Chagi. And he once went in the middle of Chodesh El, and he saw the Sfadim saying Slichas. It wasn't the Yemaya Slichas, but they say Slichas of all Chodesh. And he just stayed there for the whole Slichas. I guess he was so impressed or so overtaken by the seriousness and the way they were davening and everything. And when he finished, he said, maybe if in Poland, we would have done this too for a full month, we would have davened to Hashem that we should be Zakeh Bedin. Maybe we would have been able to save ourselves from the Holocaust. Just to hear the way Elchi looks at something and sees it to be so real, you know, that the Tfilis and the Bakushas and these important times are so effective. So it's not a question that, you know, obviously everyone takes these days seriously, but always the chizik. And, you know, during the year we discuss in these shirim all different issues, let's call it, that people deal with. Normal issues, but everyone has their ups and downs. And now when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, you know, we definitely have to believe in the Koyach HaTfilah, believe in what we can accomplish by davening, whether it's in Shulam Bayis, whether it's Chinuch HaBunim, whether it's Bunei Chaim HaZoyna, and Panusa, and everything else. In general, just knowing that there's a time of year that we have to think about what the year is going to look like, it just teaches us to plan ahead. I think in general, one of the very important lessons in life is that a person lives with a cheshbon. Sometimes people just live with the, you know, whatever comes, whatever happens, you just like deal one day at a time. And obviously, it's not a healthy way to live, not a Torah-like way to live. But Rosh Hashanah reminds us to live with a cheshbon. If when Rosh Hashanah comes, we have to think, oh, now it's important to think about what the year is going to look like and take this seriously. I think it's a very important lesson in general when people make decisions to plan ahead and to think about the outcome and the consequences and the, you know, the implications of what we say and do, and just live with a cheshbon. Anyone who wants to be successful in the Yiddish Shtib definitely has to live with a cheshbon. So with that, let me just read a letter. Dear Rabbi Gruen, I'm a father of a large family, Baruch Hashem. I previously had financial success for quite a few years, but now my business is much tighter. During those few years, I had another few children. I married off a son. I have a daughter in Shaduchim. I have two sons learning overseas, and a whole host of other major recurring expenditures that could be termed necessities. I was always cheap with myself, but generous and gracious with my family and others. However, I don't see any way to deal with all the extra spending that I can no longer afford. How do I all of a sudden lay down a set of rules without making them concerned? This especially applies to my daughter, now in Shaduchim, that will need my financial support. Thank you. Okay, so relatively common. People go through ups and downs in life. Sometimes it's due to, you know, even just when it's finances, people definitely have better times and worse times, more comfortable times and less comfortable times. Sometimes it's because there are more expenses, sometimes it's because there's less income. And the same thing with a lot of other things in life, whether it's with time management and other stuff. You know, sometimes people are more flexible and more capable, and they have more freedom and more time, and sometimes people just don't, for whatever reason. You know, things happen. Nothing's static. I spoke about this many times regarding relationships. Nothing's static. Not because last year was good means next year will be good. Not because 3 years ago we had a good stretch for a few months means that now it's going to be like that. You know, things change, and that's just one of the things that was mentioned about Rosh Hashanah. You know, it comes a time of year where we get Hashem to we try to get Hashem to, you know, give us a good year to come. Just because last year was a certain way doesn't mean it's going to stay that way at all. Somebody just mentioned to me, interestingly, that he was riding with a taxi driver, a Yiddish taxi driver. And I don't know what caused the conversation, but admittedly he said something, you know, you see I'm driving a taxi. He said, it's not the best panusa, and it's not the most bakovidika panusa. You should know that with a certain amount of years ago, I was honored at a dinner in a certain city, well, out of town community, but I was honored at their dinner because I was very wealthy and I was a big donor, and I was an honoree at their dinner. Who would have thought then that in a few years from now I'd be driving a taxi and trying to make the few dollars that I could over these trips? But that's how life is, and that's how the Seider Achaim, the Galgal Achaim is, Galgal Achoyza Bo'olam. And that's why, there's just another reason why we take Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and these times very seriously, because we want to make sure that if it's good, it stays good and it gets better. And if it isn't good, that it should become good. And, you know, this is just so common. I think it's a Ben Ishchai that says that the Tashrat, Tekiyah Shurim Triyu, Tekiyu, teaches a person that if it's tekiu, if now it's smooth sailing, right, the tekiu, straight line, then maybe soon will be the shurim and the tekiu, it will get bumpy. And if it's shurim tekiu, then it's good to know that soon will come the tekiu, will be good again. And that's how things are in life. So people shouldn't get too comfortable when it's good, and people shouldn't get too thrown off when it's difficult. And this is just very common. So I think the first thing to discuss and just clarify is that you always have to start with the reality. Start with the reality. Just get the facts on the table and realize what you're dealing with. Two very common mistakes, I think, that people make is, one is that, well, if I don't have, I don't have. I don't have. I know I need more. I know I have a family. I know there's a lot of expenses, a lot of important things, but I don't have. Now, sometimes, if you don't have and you need, then the right thing to do is to make sure you get more. That doesn't mean that everyone could get their hands on more money. It doesn't mean that everyone could earn more. It doesn't mean that everyone should be doing crazy amount of ishtadlis to get more money, but sometimes people just aren't so responsible about it, either because they don't think they have to be, or they don't know what they, or they don't think into what they could really do about it. But if you have to, you have to. If you're going to try to live on a koil budget that you had when you had two children, now that you're marrying off kids and you have 17 children, then it's just not going to work. So that's just one mistake that people just don't take reality into account and realize that, yeah, some of it at least, is definitely necessities, and you got to do what you got to do. You can't say, well, I don't have. That's not responsible. It's not somebody, you know, who got married and gave a ksuba and undertook to support a family. That's one mistake, to just look at things and say, well, I don't have. In general, when we're talking about obligations, you almost don't find chosh mishpat when somebody owes another person money and things like that. But if he says, I don't have. What do you mean you don't have? But you owe someone. You got to do something about it. That bankruptcy, that thing of like, well, I don't have, so, you know. So that's just one thing. If you need more, you got to do what you could do to get more. And if you don't get more, then if Hashem doesn't let you get more, even though you try, that's a different story, obviously. Another thing is, talking about reality, a responsible way of looking at financial stress is that you can't spend more than you have. So the fact that you're trying to make enough to cover the necessities is always the right thing to do. And the fact that you shouldn't be spending more than you own is also something that's responsible. Now, obviously, these two clash sometimes when somebody will say, well, this is necessity, and well, I don't have it, I can't afford it. Okay, so you have to balance ideas. But people that try to live a lifestyle that they can't afford when it's not necessities and they're not obligated to, but because I could push, I could borrow, I could max out credit cards, I could this, I could that, or I don't have a choice, and what are people going to say? These are two mistakes that people make. You have to deal with reality. What you do need, you should try your best to cover, and not absolve yourself just because it's hard. And what you don't need, you shouldn't be spending if you don't have. We'll talk about the difficulties and how to communicate it and what to do about it, but it has to start with a given, that what you don't need and you can't afford, you don't spend. And unfortunately, very many people do spend things they can't, and today there's a possibility, you know, with credit cards and line of credit and different things and loans. People didn't have that option back then. You couldn't spend what you didn't have. Anyway, so that's the first thing. Just know what the reality is and be realistic and responsible. But in general, it's important to realize that somebody who had panusa b'raivach, let's call it, right? And he was comfortable, making a lot of money, successful financially for a number of years, and now it's just not the same as it was, right? The first thing to know is that there's nothing to be ashamed of. In general, somebody who's not wealthy has nothing to be ashamed of. Very important. I remember a Rebbe of mine, I think it was in 7th grade or 6th grade, I don't remember what it was, when one boy was bragging about the fact that his father has more money than the other boy, something like that, And he spoke a lot about it then. That there's nothing to be ashamed of. Hashem is the one that gives panusa, right? For now, Rosh Hashanah. Hashem is the one that paskins and decides who has what. And somebody who just doesn't have what somebody else has, even though they're working and trying, has nothing to be ashamed of. And someone who has more doesn't have anything to be to boast about. And somebody who used to have and now doesn't have also has nothing to be ashamed of. This is all, you know, something from Hashem. And we know this, and we know that everyone knows it, and we still have to be reminded of it. Lila chachom amleichem, Shlomo Melech says, right? It's not because somebody is smarter or more mitzvah, that's why he has more money. It doesn't work like that. As much as when somebody is successful, you'll ask him why you're successful, he'll give you all the good ideas about how to be successful, right? But it doesn't mean that he could have told you before he was successful it's going to work, or that if the next person does this and this, he'll be successful. It doesn't work like that. Everyone's always good at looking back and attributing success to what they think was what it brought it about. But the fact that it took them 10 years to figure it out, that they're not going to tell you that the first 9 things they thought would do it didn't do it, because lo yedachachum amleichem. And it's just something we have to keep on reminding ourselves. And that's what helps us daven, and that's what helps us realize that we have to rely on Hashem for any kind of financial comfort, if you want to call it. Another thing is that when somebody can't afford something, and he's teaching his children that they can't afford it now, or it's too expensive, or we're not going to do this now for whatever reason, we're going to have a little less, or whatever it is, the idea of teaching children to be responsible, and the fact that you're not just letting them do whatever they want, I mean, this is it's not to be feel bad about. You shouldn't feel bad that you're not letting your children be irresponsible and have whatever they want if it's not a responsible thing to do. I think that's a very important thing to remember. Some people feel like they're depriving their children by not buying them whatever they want when it's irresponsible. The responsible thing is to not spend more than you have and to teach responsible spending. Okay? Now, a lot of this has to do with just being confident on your own. That's why I'm starting with this part. When somebody feels confident about something, they could communicate it, they can give it over, they could have it expressed properly in a way that will be taken better. When you're not confident and you feel bad about yourself and you feel like a loser and you feel like it reflects poorly on you, the fact that you can't make more money or the fact that you can't compete with the Joneses or whatever it is, obviously you're not going to be able to communicate something properly. But if you're confident and you know it's all from Hashem and you got to do what's right and you didn't do anything wrong and if Hashem wants it's going to get better, just knowing it and feeling comfortable with all that helps you give over your message better and have it be taken better in general. Now, when it comes to children who want things that, you know, that it's so expensive. It's so expensive. Your children want things that are so expensive. Now, again, with children in yeshiva, overseas, and shidduchim and things, I'm not going to go into the examples because I don't know who you are, exactly what the expenses are, how reasonable they are, how necessity they are, how much you could deal with them, how much you can deal with them. I can't go into the... I'm not a financial coach. I don't know enough about the situation to get into the details. But I think almost every parent could relate to the situation where children will be asking or demanding or expecting things that are too expensive. That's naturally how it goes. Sometimes it's a wife, sometimes it's whatever, whoever it may be that's asking for something that's too expensive. The first thing to do is don't get nervous or upset at somebody for asking for something. I think it's okay. Children are allowed to ask. It's normal and natural for children to want what their friend has, what the neighbor has. So what happens is that if somebody would have a lot of money and they, by principle, they don't want to buy something, or they feel that it's too much, or whatever it is, you don't get as nervous. You just stick to your thing, and no, I'm not buying that. When somebody doesn't have money, and they feel bad about themselves, that they can't provide, and then the child says, but why can't I have it if they have it? So naturally, people get insulted and triggered, and then they start screaming at the kid and getting nervous at him without realizing it has nothing to do with him. If you feel bad about yourself, or you feel incompetent, or you're just upset, or sad, or whatever it is, that's not a reason to get upset at a child for wanting something. And b'chol, when you're communicating and you're communicating in a nervous tone and being upset at a child for saying something, he's not going to understand you. He's just going to get defensive and try to figure out what he's doing wrong or explain himself. And that's not going anywhere. That's first of all. Another thing is when people start giving all kinds of different excuses and different... people try debating the topic of how important it is or how not important it is instead of being clear about the fact that, no, this is not something I want to buy now or I could buy now even. The fact that you go in circles and you start getting all apologetic and excusing yourself and defensive, you have to be straightforward. A child is asking for something, you can say, I hear you, I'll think about it. The answer is not now. You don't always have to give excuses, and sometimes the fact that you're giving excuses to cover up something else, people smell it and they realize and it just doesn't go over well. Now, especially in this case, where you're talking about older children, you're not talking about little kids asking for bikes. You're talking about kids that got used to a certain lifestyle, and it's getting a little a little tight, or more than a little tight, and they're not stupid, and they know that this used to be okay, so why is it not anymore? Sometimes it's fine to say, I'm trying to be more responsible now, or I'm trying to budget better, or it's not as easy as it used to be, and I'm putting away some money. You could say things that might help you save face, especially because you don't want to scare anyone, and explain that, but they're allowed to know that this is a financial decision. They're allowed to know that there were times that it was much easier, I didn't have to think twice, and now I can still afford what I have to, and I still want to be a little more responsible and put away money for the future, start planning, kids are getting married soon, and things like that. You don't want to scare children. And there's something I spoke about in the past, that children later in life, you know, come with these trauma stories about, I used to hear my parents talking about the money and the borrowing and the whatever, and I realized my father didn't have a job, and it is traumatic, and it's not always good for children to be too in touch with the details of what their parents are struggling with, especially when it comes to worries and things, and not everything that's on your mind about what you might lose your job has to be shared with children. No reason for that. But it doesn't mean that you can't tell a child that money doesn't grow on a tree and it's not unlimited. I think it's fine to sound responsible and say that because money is not unlimited, I'll think about this. And because I'm trying to put away money or plan for your future or make sure that I'll have what we need when we need it. Right now, the answer for this is that even though we used to do it, it's just not something I want to do right now. I don't think children have to be afraid of that. And even if a child does know that you're going through some kind of challenge, whether it's because you lost a job or because it becomes obvious that you can't afford something, you don't want to talk in a worried tone, even if you're worried. And it's normal to be worried, even though we all try to be mechazik ourselves. But for a child to see a worried parent is scary. It's scary. And it's always important to, at least for children, and this is not called faking, because we know it's true, at least for children, talk with emin and betuchen, talk with confidence, Hashem will help. Right now, so it is tight, Tati doesn't have a job, and I don't want to spend things or invest in things before I have an income, but I'm sure that Hashem will help, and I'm davening, I'm doing my best, and that's all I have to do, and all Hashem wants from us. The confidence with which a parent talks, obviously if you mean it and you feel it, it gets taken even better, but even if not, you're allowed to talk that way. And not only to your kids, but to your spouse and to yourself, always talk with confidence in betuchen. And even when children are young, and it's hard for them to take a lot of these messages, but I used to, but why not, but everyone does, and things like that, as long as you feel confident with your message, and you're not saying it in a nervous tone, and you're not getting angry at anyone, chances are that when children will mature, and they'll get older, they'll look back, and they'll understand what happened. They'll understand what happened. Somebody just told me recently that he went on vacation with his wife, and because there was a certain chinuch challenge going on, he decided to take along one of his children who he felt would benefit from coming along. And he says something like, I don't think this child will ever understand what we really did for him or her by taking her along and sharing a private vacation with a child. It wasn't easy, with a teenager, until he or she gets married one day and has to do the same. I think that's when my child might realize what I did for it, child. And with a lot of things in chinuch, it's like that. Your child may not realize what it means to go through financial stress until they have to work a budget and be more responsible. But chances are that if you communicate it with confidence and gently and being firm, chances are they'll grow older and they may even appreciate the fact that my parents were responsible. They were able to spend when they were able to, and when they weren't able to, they didn't. And they knew what they were doing. And they might actually appreciate the responsibility that you taught them. And just another thing over here with the children and with the financial stress, which I hope maybe by the time I'm reading this letter, it's not even relevant anymore for the person who asked it. But part of implementing any kind of changes at home or any kind of budgeting, which you didn't have to in the past, it has to be done responsibly. Now, again, I'm not a financial coach. I'm not here to give a lot of tips on how to spend money. But sometimes what happens is when people can't afford whatever they were able to afford, they all of a sudden they just shut down. They don't afford anything. That's like very black and white, all or none. If I can't splurge and have everyone go to summer camp for the whole summer, then nobody's going at all. That's not something your children will understand. Chances are, because it's not really reasonable, unless you really can't afford anything. But sometimes the fact that somebody can't afford everything anymore, so that's it, we're not doing anything anymore. Or sometimes people make another mistake, for example, of, I only have $500, it's basically first come, first serve. Whoever asks for whatever first could have it, and after that, I don't have it anymore, we'll have to wait for next month. People make these mistakes, and I've heard them many times, and it just makes everyone crazy. If you don't know how to prioritize, you don't know how to balance things out, so what happens? Some people got what wasn't important because then there was still money around for it. And then when the important things came up, there's no money anymore. it's very important to deal with things logically and balanced. You might need someone to help you a little bit with it. But I think it's fine, just to get to the main question, to communicate these things with confidence and be clear about the fact that you are budgeting and you're being responsible and there's no need to worry. And for the time being, things might be different than they were. You don't have to make a whole announcement and a whole meeting about it, but I think as time goes on, it becomes obvious. And I think that if you communicate it with confidence in a calm manner, it should, go over well. In general, right, forget about people struggling. In general, just being reasonable is always a good thing to do. You know, teaching kids that everything goes and everyone can spend whatever they want just because you have money is neither healthy. I know quite a few wealthy people that, Baruch Hashem, know how to teach their children that when you want something, you could ask for it nicely. I could think about it, if it's important or not. And if it's relatively important, you'll certainly get it. Important doesn't have to mean high importance when somebody's very wealthy, but just living with a cheshbon. You have sometimes children from wealthy families that they get so spoiled, first of all, that later in life, everything becomes a challenge. Or if they're not spoiled, they have all these complaints about, why not? It's too expensive. You can't afford it. That's not a normal question. It's important for children to realize that even if you could afford it, you still have to think if it's important to spend on. Obviously, everything within reason and everything has to be relative, but there's no reason to splurge unnecessarily. Now, part of it is actually just being responsible and being reasonable, and part of it is living with a cheshbon. Now, I'm not saying if somebody has unlimited funds, it's still good to live with a cheshbon, but at least, then it's only being more chayzdik. But sometimes people make this, a small amount of money, and they feel comfortable all of a sudden, they start earning a little more, and all of a sudden they're spending all over the place. Who knows? Who knows if you're going to have all this money a year from now? How come you're not putting anything away? I've seen people who made large sums of money at once and basically spent it all, and then by the time they had to make a simcha, by the time something else came up, there was nothing left. I've seen this a few times already. So being responsible in general is always good. I'm saying just hearing somebody write that they were comfortable and they got into a certain lifestyle and they can't cover it, it doesn't mean that they were being irresponsible. I'm saying something to think about. It's interesting because this questioner doesn't mention anything about the Shalom Bayis aspect, but because we generally talk about Shalom Bayis and Chinuch, I do want to mention it. On the contrary, I think that the fact that maybe he didn't talk anything about the Shalom Bayis means that his wife is supportive and not demanding anything, and maybe that's not part of the problem at all. Maybe it's only the children that might not understand it. But in any case, it's very important to, like I say, always compartmentalize. Don't let a financial strain or financial difficulty a certain period of time shake the whole Shalom Bayis. Very important sometimes, and money is everything. Money is not everything, but it's everything. It's everything means it affects everything. If somebody doesn't have money, it makes everything difficult, right? Not a question. But it doesn't have to affect everything. It doesn't have to become your whole life. Engelman tells me recently that his wife was complaining about so many different things and it was getting very personal. She was telling him what a bad husband he is. He said, listen, I think you have a great husband, a caring husband, an intelligent husband, a present husband, a helpful husband. And he doesn't have a lot of money now, right? That's the one thing he doesn't have. But everything else he does have. Please be understanding and please be considerate, and let's not turn this into a everything issue. And it's not easy. It's not easy because, like I said, when there's no money, it affects everything. But it's important to realize that, sometimes when a husband can't provide as much as he wants to, if husband and wife could both try their best to hold on to the Shalom Bayis and not let the relationship get affected, that's the best thing you could do, because it could take nothing for this to turn into a much bigger mess than it is, and not just not be able to afford anything, but actually to start fighting around about things. On the contrary, I think when a husband is struggling financially, again, it doesn't sound like this man is a poor man, I'm just saying when somebody is struggling financially, that's when he needs a wife to be supportive, be understanding, right? To be encouraging, to daven for him, to tell him it's okay, to not spend as much taka, and don't make him feel bad about it. These are very important things. They're very important things. Somebody shared with me a Muri de Gevort from the other week. Maybe I should wait till Parshas Bereishis to talk about it, but I'll say it now because I think it's a Muri de Gevort. We find Berechet Etz Hadas that Hashem was upset and giving a curse to the Nuchash, to Chava, and to Udam, right? And the Pusuk says, L'Isha Omar, Harba Arba Etzvoynech, V'Aroynech, Ba'etziv Tal Dibunem, L'Ishach Chekusach, V'Yim Shobach. Hashem piled down on Chava a whole list of curses. You're not going to have easy life. You're not going to have easy life. You're going to be struggling, it's going to be hard, you're going to be overwhelmed, right? All the emotional up and down that comes with pregnancy and with childbirth and everything else. Hashem can have easy life. Now Hashem turns to Udam and says that because you also had part in this, right? Arira Dumba Virechu, Mitzuvan Techalnu, and Koizadat Tatsmirlach, Zaisa Pechu Techalechem. You're going to struggle with them. He says, L'choyre, after Hashem finished cursing Chava that she's going to have a challenging life, very overwhelming, and now Hashem turns to Udam, he's going to start cursing Udam. Didn't Udam just get a curse? He has to live with this woman. He's living with a woman who's pregnant and trying to raise children and overwhelmed and stressed out and hormonal, and you know that's not a fun life. So now Hashem's turning to him as if, okay, so now I'm gonna explain what you're gonna have to deal with. That's an acute question, and the answer that I heard was, it's a lesson in Shulam Bayis. If Chava would get a curse about how hard her life will be, but she'll have a husband who's dear and comforting and encouraging and supportive, that's not such a bad curse. Well, it's not gishmak, you know, to have to struggle with pregnancies and raising children and other things, but at least there's a husband on the side who's helpful. It eliminates part of her curse. So part of her curse was, not only are you going to struggle, but you're going to have a husband who's overwhelmed trying to make a living. And same thing the other way around. If a husband's trying to make a living, and it's not easy, he's working very hard, but if he comes home to a wife who's smiling and gracious and greeting him and supportive and encouraging, oh, you worked hard today, don't worry, it will become easier, it will be good, and you'll make a lot of money, and it will be, that's not such a bad curse. So he struggled during the day a little bit. So part of his curse was that he has a wife who's going to be very, very overwhelmed and stressed out. Now obviously, the way Hashem put it down, they're each dealing with a certain difficulty that makes it harder for them to be supportive of the other person's difficulty. But when you think about it, don't be part of your spouse's curse. If you have a wife who's overwhelmed and stressed, and you can at least try on your to the best of your ability to be supportive and encouraging, you're helping things out. And if you're just getting stressed out by her stress, you're making it even worse. And if you have a husband who's overwhelmed with, you know, different financial stress and other difficulties and whatever it is, and you can at least try to be supportive and understanding and encouraging, you're definitely making that curse of B'zayis HaPeichot HaLechem a lot easier. So that's, you know, just being careful that these financial difficulties shouldn't become a major Shalom Bayis problem, or even a small one, is very important. And also, especially when it comes to the children taka, which was part of what the question was about, to have a unified front in front of the kids. Right? If the kids start complaining to mommy, I don't know why, tati stopped paying for this, or tati said we can't do this anymore, it's not normal, and mommy says, I don't know, you could talk to him about it, or whatever, or she starts arguing with him in front of him, that's not the way it should be. It's not the way it should be. You have to be very careful that in order for kids to be able to take these messages, whenever things do get a little tight, and they know at least that mommy and tati are on the same page, and they're not going to help one get against the other one, and one questioning the other, just seeing mommy being insecure about the decision makes them feel like they could go challenge tati, or maybe he's being unreasonable. Seeing mommy be confident and say it's okay, tati doesn't have to pay for this, so the fact that we did it last year, you know, it doesn't mean that we'll be able to do it forever. Tati's a very responsible person. If he can do it, he'll do it for you, don't worry, he loves you. You know, just having that unified front is especially important, both in Shulam Bayis and in Chinuch Habonim. So with that, let me just sum it up. I think just on a personal level, anyone going through any kind of challenge, don't feel bad. It's the way Hashem runs the world. And when you're confident and you're not broken, you're not hurt, and you're feeling so clapped by yourself, you're definitely able to communicate things much better. You're allowed to tell your children that you're being responsible, and that right now it's not very easy. You shouldn't be sharing your worries with them, and you shouldn't be making them afraid. But you're allowed to tell them that something is expensive and you're putting away money, or you're being responsible and you're budgeting. I think that's fine. In general, we should all be budgeting, like I said, even those who could afford more. Not a reason not to. And make sure that the Shulam Bayis and the Chinuch doesn't get to shackled just because there's some financial stress. It's normal. And if everyone who's dealing with any kind of financial stress automatically will have to now struggle with their Shulam Bayis and their Chinuch, it would be a shame. It would be a shame. It's not the way it should be. So my bracha to everyone is that now that Shushun is coming, it is the blueprint of the new year, and if we'll use it properly, and we'll ask Hashem that we should all be nechtev v'nechtem in sifron shel tzadikim gemirim, chaim tov mashulim, have a good geben shtiur, os beten alos geit zaksiv v'chsim toive, and all be able to have a year full of sheva, brucha, hatzlucha, and live together, b'hava achav shalom v'rayas.